everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. Yeah, give me the primetime music. On a week with 7 backup quarterbacks playing, nobody knows what pass interference is or roughing the passer. There's a holding penalty on every play. Tom Brady is turning games off. Mahomes and Jackson and this battle. Let's get around.
What?
That
hurts. Yeah, it hurts. It also sounds like my Woody impression. My Berman is my Woody is my everything else.
Water.
That's when you know it's a really good one. Breaking news from the NFL and the New England Patriots. Franchise releasing Antonio Brown today after the most recent allegations, first reported by Robert Klemko in Sports Illustrated, of harassing and intimidating text messages from Brown to one of his accusers. You're seeing the Patriots statement on screen now. Brown also responded publicly, thanked the Patriots, posted a Nipsey Russell quote about people destroying you because of power. We recorded today's Around the Horn before this news, and what you will see now is that conversation.
There are some things that we're looking into, but I'm not going to have any comment on any of the off-the-field situations.
Yeah, when we work on football, we work on football.
He's on our roster.
Yeah, I think I've already addressed this, so happy to answer any football questions. But
is there ever a point where some off-field stuff is not
okay.
Enough?
So, yeah. That's, yeah, I'm good. Okay. Thank you. Well, yeah, we had enough of that.
Well, Bill Belichick only wants to talk about football, but this is an off-the-field issue with football ramifications. He's not just the coach, by the way. He is also the de facto GM in New England. He is in charge of personnel. All of this falls under him, and he should be asked about it. Now, as far as the story itself, Tony, it is different from the stories around Antonio Brown up to this point when we've talked about the allegations of Antonio Brown. We've taken care to present them as allegations. The NFL is still investigating them, but there is nothing alleged about these texts and what they convey. He put the woman who accused him of harassing him in a text group, asked people who worked for him or his friends to investigate or put in a picture of his family. That's intimidation. It's extremely troubling and it should be regarded as such.
Woody Page, how do you consider the latest on Brown and Belichick's press conference today?
Well, let's start with Brown. People talk about him doubling down when he was in Oakland and when he came to New England. He's quadrupling down. Why doesn't he shut his mouth and play football? He's lucky to have been on the field last week, and I just think that he just keeps exacerbating the situation by his actions. In regard to Belichick, if he wants to say, let's stick to football, then do it. Go out the side of the room and then come back in as the chief executive of the Patriots, because we know that Robert Kraft is not going to discuss this issue. His son, Jonathan, and the director of player personnel, there is nobody else to ask except Bill Belichick. If he won't address it, what are we supposed to do as the media and as the public? So I think he's making a bad mistake. And somebody wrote me and said, well, he's just a coach. No, he's not the coach. He is all everything with the Patriots in regard to the players that are on his team.
Sarah Spain, can you address Bill Belichick's press conference first?
Yeah, I mean, to me, Bill Belichick's legacy that really matters, and a lot of people won't care about this, but this matters to me, is not just a great coach, but it's also the way he represents his team and the league. And I think it's, frankly, well below a standard that we should expect from someone. Continuing to just say, I want to talk about football, when Mina said, what Mina said is right. There are ramifications for football based on this. But also to be a representative for this many years of the league and of his team and of greatness in the sport, I don't think you can just shirk the responsibility of having to address very serious issues, harboring many players who have very serious issues attached to them when they arrive and when they leave. I don't think we should just let him off the hook for this because he wins a lot of games. And I get the feeling that's what's going to happen when we're all talking about the great legacy of Bill Belichick. As for Antonio Brown, I think the most troubling thing here is there is absolutely nothing to be gained by what he's doing with this woman. She was not going to press any charges. She wasn't going to come public with her name. She was simply adding some context to some of the previous allegations. So there's nothing to be gained by his intimidation except for to say that he seems to be a guy who continues to be out of control of his actions. And that's only probably going to get worse from here.
And Clinton Yates, your view of it?
Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are officially a full-blown embarrassment to the NFL, and I think it's pretty clear at this stage. And that is what makes this so tricky to look at, is that everybody seems to be acting as if that's not what's happening. No, that is what's happening to the crown jewel franchise in the league. You don't seem to be able to answer questions about a person that is doing things that are obviously harmful to the people around him. As for Brown, the thing that stuck to me most from that SI article was when somebody said, it appears that he doesn't believe that he has to give working-class people their due. And in those text messages, he makes a point about that person being broke. And it speaks to who he is as a character human in terms of him actually thinking he's better than other people, which is very odd when he says, oh, everybody thinks I'm the bad guy. Well, yeah, that is a bad guy move. You're not above any other human on earth. And that, to me, is as concerning as a person in society as it is as a fan of any football team or not.
Sarah Spain, something you want to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to say what Clinton's saying is very spot on. It doesn't necessarily prove any allegations to be true. But if you are entitled enough to believe that you are better than other people, that you don't owe them something if they're poor, that you are better, then you are prone to be taking whatever it is that you think you deserve or have earned. And that's very dangerous in the context of the other allegations against them.
And Woody Page.
It's toxic.
I think the word is respect, what you guys are talked about. Respect the people that you actually employ and that do something for you. Respect the women around you. Respect the teams you play for. If he just would show some respect, I think we would show him some in return.
We've been horned. We'll move on. Let's talk some football now. There's a game on the schedule this week that you got to be excited about just to see how it plays out. Ravens-Chiefs, to me, you are perfect right now. Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes in their bag. Last year was great. The game, this Mahomes-to-Hill play happened. Of course, no Hill Sunday. The game planning going on right now to try to slow down these two quarterbacks requires us to go with a certain filter we have on the show. What filter? It's this filter right here. But. How do you game plan for these quarterbacks? Clinton, we'll start with you. Who has a tougher task ahead of them, the Ravens defense versus Mahomes or the Chiefs defenses versus Lamar Jackson?
I think the Ravens defense has a tougher task, but I don't think that that means that they can't achieve it. I mean, they sacked Mahomes 3 times last year. Only one team sacked him more, and it's only happened twice. Also, the problem is that the Chiefs just scored too many daggone points. They've got 26 points in 20 straight games, but the closest they got to not getting it was against the actual Ravens, and it took overtime. So if you bring that fifth rusher and try to find a way to mask it, maybe you can get Mahomes on the ground a little bit more. But other than that, I don't know how you've managed to stop him with all these weapons. It's going to be tricky, but the Ravens have had the formula. It's gotten close.
Mina, when you look at Mahomes versus Jackson, who's tougher to defend? And, of course, knowing the defense is on the field, who's got the advantage?
Yeah. They're both hard to defend, but the Ravens' defense has the harder challenge. You know when someone asks you a question and you know there's no right answer? Married people can relate. That's what it's like trying to defend Patrick Mahomes. There is no right answer. Now, in the past, he has struggled, and I use struggled in a very relative term, when he's encountered deception. I think of the Patriots playing him last season using stunts and twists to throw him off. Dante Hightower tricking him with a fake blitz, dropping back, getting the interception. That's what you have to do. You have to utilize the same level of misdirection that the Chiefs use on offense. Otherwise, you've got no chance.
And do you believe the Ravens can do that?
I think they're better equipped to do it than almost any defense in the NFL right now.
Sarah Spain, who'd you rather be going into this week? Lamar Jackson going against the Chiefs defense or Patrick Mahomes going against the Ravens?
Well, first of all, to Mina's point, no, I'm fine. And also, are you saying this question makes me look fat? Because anyway, okay. The point is, right, is that I obviously think that Mahomes is tougher to cover, just like they said. But there's worth noting that Lamar Jackson, through 2 weeks, appears to be improved from last year. And we saw how close that game was. So this will be difficult on both defenses. And I think it is going to be, as we've heard, you know, stop the big plays. But more than that, it's just doing what they did last year against this Chiefs offense that made it really hard for them to pull away. They did lose some important pieces to that Ravens defense in the offseason. That's worth noting. But I think, again, it's going to be about keeping it simple, putting the pressure on Mahomes. And this should actually be a lot closer than you might think when you realize that there are no answers to Mahomes, but you can at least
try. All right, so there's at least meeting me halfway here. Woody, I want to ask you the same question. Would you rather be the Ravens defense going against Mahomes, or would you rather see Lamar Jackson going up against Kansas City's defense?
Well, Tony, you've changed this question about four times since you started this segment. I don't know. I'm going to answer what I want to answer,
there you go.
And you can do the impersonation of me. I would actually rather be Lamar Jackson. And I know that's going to sound strange to you guys, but I'm going up against the weaker defense. The Kansas City Chiefs have made improvements from last year, but still are out there looking for maybe a guy from Jacksonville to help that defensive backfield. Lamar Jackson hasn't thrown an interception in seven consecutive regular season games. He hasn't really pulled out his rushing. He is a better runner than Patrick Mahomes. He is a guy that has been, the two of them combined have thrown 14 touchdowns and no interceptions. So you can't really pull them apart at this point. If I'm Lamar Jackson, this is my test. I want to pass this examination.
So you think Lamar Jackson's tougher to defend than Patrick Mahomes?
In this game.
In this game, okay. Clinton Yates, your key to the game.
Mark Andrews has another 100-yard game. I think that the Ravens win.
You got the Ravens winning this game if they can get tight end play. Sarah Spain, how about you?
I actually think it's still going to be the Chiefs, despite the Ravens' defense being good.
Actually. You throw that actually in there like we've been waiting on that. Woody Page, how about you?
Chiefs at home.
Mina Kimes?
What's the difference?
Yeah, Jackson's going to have to score a lot to keep up. He's going to have to do it with his arm. So it's all on Jackson.
The Ravens defensive coordinator Wink Martindale says this could be the Brady Manning, Ollie Frazier, Magic Bird of this generation, Mahomes and Jackson. Maybe that will get Tom Brady to stick around and watch this game. You right? We're going to talk about that from last night as well. In by ourselves. Stick around.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
The Thursday night football was very Thursday that night, my friends. Very Thursday that night. Tennessee going about their life with five tight end sets. About Mariota seems to be missing. Minshewing, though. But if there's a headline, Tom Brady turning the game off because of penalties, that's got to be one of them as well. Mina, talk about Minshew first. Talk to me. Is this more than just a mustache here?
I still don't know whose voice that was. No, it was something important, I think, something that matters for this team. What I saw last night was a quarterback who was good enough to support an elite defense.
Oh, boy.
The best player on the field was Calais Campbell, right? But in the past, when the Jags have had an elite defense, haven't had quarterback play to support it. Last night, I saw that. What did I, elite?
You're real. Oh, that's a third one, too. This is an incredible turn of events for me to cut. Woody Page, first on Minshew from last night.
Sure,
I too am impressed with the Minshew redemption. That's what it sounds like. A guy that went to four different colleges and probably a truck driving school before he got to the NFL. But this is premature evaluation. Let's see him play against a good defense like Denver's next week before we start crowning him the MVP of the league.
Okay. Sarah Spain on Minshew.
I don't want to care about whether it's premature. I just want to enjoy it, because usually what happens when we have a starting quarterback go down and we have to watch the backup is such a disappointment in the level of football, such a lack of interest. Not only is the football good, but he's so interesting and so fun that I don't care if it's early.
So you're believing in the Jaguars a little bit here, or are you?
Yeah, I don't think this is a division that anyone should think goes to anyone else with ease. They can absolutely come back with an 0-2 start.
bringing that big Jake Plummer energy. I'm here for that. Look, I mean, the bottom line is that he got it done, which is more than you can say that people expected. You know what I mean? This team was in flux in terms of everything that was happening with Jalen Ramsey and so forth. They came out of the gate, banged him straight over the head, and it was never in question. I have to be impressed with Garner.
I wonder what that conversation was really about you guys were just having. The disappearance of Mariota. Can we talk about the Titans side of the ball here? Mike Vrabel says he never thought about going to Tannehill. The offense of the Titans, why do things seem to be going backwards here, Mina?
Well, this was a failure on all counts. It wasn't just Mariota. They had to bring in extra blockers to help on the offensive line, so guys weren't getting open. The play calling was atrocious. They were calling runs on, second down late in the game when they were down. It was immensely frustrating to watch. That said, I do think it is time to consider moving on to Tannehill because Mariota, he ain't it.
Is it more Mariota or more the offensive Rabel's running for Mariota, though, Mina Khan?
I think it's both, honestly, okay. At this point. So at this point, why
Woody
not?
Woody Page, you have a read on it?
Yeah, I think they're really missing Matt LaFleur, who's gone off to Green Bay, and the offense doesn't look quite the same for Mariota. I would have gone to Tannehill last night because there were, 18 hurries and 9 sacks, and I just think that Mariota, hanging on to the ball too long, really needed to be out of that game by the fourth quarter.
Tom Brady's tweet. Were there any penalties after Tom Brady's tweet? I don't know about that. Anything to read into here, Sarah Spain?
Well, I put on my reporter's cap for this, and I talked to Kevin Seifert, who said the reason for this is that the coaches' subcommittee actually reached out about what they called lobster blocks, which is this illegal technique that they're using on backside runs. They wanted the refs to pay more attention to that, but instead it's sort of morphed into paying attention to all holding, which we've all sort of just agreed for many years now happens on every play and only call it when it's really bad. Maybe we'll find a happy medium here, but right now it seems
lobster blocks? Is that what you're talking? Consider the lobster. How about that? And Clinton Yates on Brady's tweet.
Let's not bury the lead here. I was as shocked as the rest of America to find out that Tom Brady is watching Thursday night football
like anybody else out there.
That was more surprising to me than anything. What are you doing? You got better things to do. You're the best quarterback in the history of the league.
Backup quarterback Sunday in the NFL. 6 will be in action Sunday. We had one last night as well, so 7 for the week. All on the road, based in Rudolph at San Francisco. Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill or both at Seattle. Kyle Allen starting for Carolina at Arizona. Luke Falk for the Jets at New England. Daniel Jones at Tampa. Josh Rosen for Miami at Dallas. Woody, who's in the best position to play wellish?
Tone, not a lot to pick from there, honestly, with the teams they're playing against. We now will have 40 different starting quarterbacks this season. I'm going to go with Kyle Allen, who is the latest to be named today, because I think the Cardinals will give him the best chance to operate. That I think he can play as well as Cam Newton, and they have been in games.
Darius Payne.
Yeah, Cardinals have actually kept things tight in those games, which is why instead I went with Daniel Jones against the Bucks. He's got Saquon Barkley to rely on. Doesn't have great wide receivers, but a good tight end. And Saquon against a Bucks team that you never know if Jameis makes an errant pass and you win it 9-3 on a pick 6 and a field goal.
You really love tweaking those Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans, don't you, Sarah? How about you, Clint Yates?
I think it's got to be Kyle Allen. He's got the best chance to win because he's got the best player with him in McCaffrey that's going to be going up against that Cardinals defense. Everybody else might perhaps have a better game, but their opponent that they're dealing with is not going to be.
All right, they all got Daniel Jones has Saquon Barkley. Mina Kimes, how about you?
Saquon Barkley.
I'll pander to the Bucs fans. They've actually had one of the best defenses in football through week 3. It's been a real pleasant surprise so far. I'm going to go with Mason Rudolph, not because of the competition, but because when I watched him on Sunday, I thought he looked pretty good in relief. He has been in that offense. He has weapons around him, so he should play relatively well.
Yates, did you say Saquon Barkley isn't Christian McCaffrey?
Correct.
Everyone on board with that? Mina, are you on board with that?
No.
Criticizing Saquon? No.
You're not doing that again. Okay, and Sarah Spain, Woody Page, chicken their head in the... We'll move on. College. 3 games ranked versus ranked this week. Auburn, Texas A&M, Wisconsin, Michigan. But we're going to talk about Notre Dame and Georgia. Who are you buying? Who are you selling, Sarah Spain? Who does it mean more for? Break it down for us.
I'm buying Georgia gets the win. I'm buying it means more to Notre Dame. Don't have enough good teams on their schedule, and they keep getting exposed down the stretch. They need this.
BY?
Yeah, I think DeAndre Swift is going to run all over them, but it's not that big of a deal if you lose. If they end up being that, you know, that highly ranked, they're a good team. That's dealable with in terms
Mina
of...
Mina Kimes?
I'm buying Georgia 8th best rushing offense against the 120th rushing defense. They're going to beat them with big boy football.
Page.
Yeah. Ooh. Talking about big boy football, Mina, their offensive line outweighs Notre Dame's offensive line by 85 pounds. I mean, you think about that. Between the hedges, Georgia's not going to lose.
85 pounds over Jake five Fong. Guys, 10, 12 pounds each. Okay. I guess that's, I don't know. I mean, I don't really look for that. I like medium-sized guy football. A schmedium-sized maybe would be best. Mina Kimes, you really, I mean, you're going to wear this band banner for the rest of the day. Clinton Yates, take a back seat as well. Woody Page, Sarah Spang, and yes, for the eighth time in a row, Woody goes for 600.5 wins. Next.
Wow.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
So seven times Woody Page has tried to get win number 600, which is actually 600.5 because he has a half a win, but that's a long story. This is the eighth time, and he goes against Sarah Spain. Think about how embarrassing it would be to lose this one, Sarah. Let's go! Showdown one! More credit
wow.
to Tulane, or more blame to Houston last night. This is how this ended. Look at this. 31-31 with 21 seconds left. The fake kneel run for 18 yards, and then after that, why not go for a big pass downfield? This is schmedium boy-sized football right here. And the touchdown. It went 71 yards in 15 seconds. Woody, how do you divide the credit and blame on this one?
82% because it was such an unusual call that Houston wasn't ready for. And so the blame for Houston on the other play, I think, is 29%.
I'm going to go 60% Tulane. This was a crazy play. The stealth was amazing. But I got to go 40% blame at least because the first play was stealthy and unexpected. What happened on the second play? You knew what they were doing. What are you doing?
Why did this turn into a radio show all of a sudden? What's happening over here?
What are you doing?
Woody,
come on.
This is how a man has 600 and a half wins with your math. We'll move on. We don't know what the number is, but Duke says freshman Cassius Stanley broke Zion Williamson's school record of 45-inch vertical. Alarmingly athletic hoopers, Duke says. Sarah, what does it portend?
We know for sure it portends that Duke will have a guy with a great vertical on his team. As for everything else, we don't really know.
Wow.
Also, is this just like a hype thing to try to get people excited now that Zion's gone? Did they fib this maybe?
Oh, forget about portend. Let's talk about pretend. I think that was a pretend. I think they're just doing it. Zion's not even dead yet, and they're already trying to replace him with the next guy. Let's have real proof that he did it. I don't think he did.
Portend, pretend, play on words. Is that going to be enough for 600.5? No. All right, Sarah Spade, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Oh, I ruined his hopes and dreams. That feels great. Very rarely does a guy get a starting job in the NFL and everybody feels sorry for him, but that's exactly what's happening with Josh Rosen. He's been named the starter for the Dolphins. In fact, I think there's a QB coach that said he should just deny this opportunity to be tribute for this Hunger Games. This is how bad it is. It's a terrible offensive line with no weapons in his first iteration with the Cardinals, and now a worse offensive line with worse weapons for a Dolphins team that's going to go out there and get him crushed. I just feel bad for the guy. I hope he eventually gets a chance to show what he can do in the NFL, because these two teams ain't it.
Woody Page, new glasses. What's going on here? Maybe those are the glasses you need. Next week.
Maybe I'll try.
You have to wait for next week.
That win.
We'll be back Monday.